Welcome back to our live performance from the Hot Docs Podcast Festival in Toronto. So our show is old enough that we remember a time before podcasts. We are, in fact, celebrating our 25th anniversary as a radio show. And one of the classic segments that our founding host, Lynn Rosetto Casper, would do was a game called Stump the Cook, where a challenger would give her a list of ingredients from their fridge, and she'd have to come up with a dish on the spot that you'd actually want to eat. Now, I have never actually attempted this segment because I'm a coward, but we decided to revive Stump the Cook on stage, and we brought out the fearless Melissa Clark, host of our new podcast, Weeknight Kitchen, to join me and the judges, Maddie Matheson and Suresh Das, and then we sent her out to the Lions. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to play this game.
I am excited for you. I'm excited to sit next to you and just watch the carnage flow.
No. It's going to be good. It's going to be
good. It'll
be
great.
It's going to be good. I'm not nervous. No. Lynn was so graceful at it, you know? She just had this encyclopedic knowledge of putting flavors together. So it's a little bit of pressure, but you guys are going to back me up, right?
We're here to back you up.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're actually not here to back you up. They're here to judge you.
Oh, okay. You guys are here to back me up, right?
Somebody. You should back her up.
Thank you.
I'll go over the rules in a second. But actually, let me start with this. So, Melissa, you're going to be great at this. Literally, dozens. We recorded recently, and I actually counted 26 cookbooks.
Yeah, 43.
Wow.
What? You know, I had to write another couple of dozen because, you know, mortgage and, you know.
43 cookbooks.
No, 43 cookbooks. A lot of them I wrote, they were small cookbooks. I wrote them when I was really young. And literally, cookbook writing is a volume business. No, seriously, you don't make a lot of money. This was before I was working at the Times. I was out there, I was hostessing, I was waitressing, and I was writing these cookbooks, like, you know, very small ones. And then I started to realize, oh my God, I love this. I love writing these cookbooks. So I started working with chefs, and I wrote their cookbooks. And that was amazing because I learned so much from all of these New York chefs. And then, you know, because of that, I was testing all the recipes, and I was getting to be a better cook. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, maybe I can write my own. And that's when I started writing my own. So out of those 43 cookbooks, I have written maybe half a dozen, maybe six Melissa Clark cookbooks. The other ones I've helped other people write their books, or I've written small books. Like, remember the bread machine? I wrote two bread machine cookbooks. So you remember. We're not talking high cuisine here. I did write two Instant Pot cookbooks, which I love the Instant Pot. That's a whole other thing. That is great.
And now you're a podcaster.
I love podcasting, but it is new. I don't know how you do it. You know, just the constant coming up on the spot with brilliant things to say. I'm very in awe of you.
Just
watching you.
Well, you cut out 90% of the bad stuff.
The editing,
the
right?
The stuff that is reasonable, you leave, and you hope there's anything in there worth listening to.
Same thing with a cookbook. There's a lot of bad recipes. You're like, all right, I'm not putting that in. And then you just the good ones make it to the top.
Well, okay, here's the thing that's weird to me about talking into a microphone.
Yeah.
Like here, we get to do with people, which is great. But most of the time, you're in a studio, you got headphones on, and you're talking to a microphone, and there's no human in front of you. And it's almost like you have to imagine the person you're talking to. And it's so weird because as a podcast listener, I love listening to podcasts. It feels so intimate. And a really good podcast makes it truly feel like the host is talking to you directly, but the host is talking to nobody. Like, how do you...
No, I'm not. I have a muse. I have a muse.
Who's your muse?
I do. I have... Okay, so my best friend from college, Robin Aronson, I talked to her because she loves to cook and she loves eating, but she doesn't have a ton of knowledge, but she has enough. And so she's my muse. Like she's like, if she says to me, she goes, you know, when you have to line a pan with parchment paper, you lose me. I'm like, okay, so only do that if it's really necessary. Like I hear her voice in my head. It's like, really? Three bowls for one dish? Come on. And I hear her all the time. I hear her when I'm developing recipes. And then when I'm talking and, you know, during the podcast, what I'm doing in this podcast is actually kind of different from a lot of podcasts where you have a guest. I'm by myself. I'm actually with Sally, my producer. But I'm, for the most part, and I'm talking through a recipe. So I'm talking through making, I think the latest one we have up is I'm making what we call grown-up chicken fingers. And what they are, it's basically schnitzel. It's fried chicken, breaded fried chicken that you, I have this special technique where I kind of, like roll it in the pan so the oil goes on top and it makes it like puffs up the the crust, so it's really crunchy. And I'm talking through this recipe, but I'm talking to Robin. And I'm like, okay, Robin, so here's the thing. You want to like, and I don't say her name, but I'm like, so here's the thing. You want to loosen it a little bit. Like you want to make sure you have enough oil, but not too much so it's greasy. Right. And I'm talking to her, and that is so helpful. And so that's how I do it. Otherwise, what do I like, you know, talk to my chicken? Hello, chicken. You know, it's funny. It's like figuring that out was really important for me to be able to do the podcast.
That's incredible. Like, I've done this for, like, 3 years, and I had no idea. I was, like, talking into the void.
Because you need Robin. I can introduce you guys.
Okay.
She would love you.
Number. We'll talk. Okay. You ready to play Something to Cook?
All right. I'm ready as I'm ever going to be. Okay. Let's do it.
Your challenger is Jashna Maharaj.
Woo!
Jashna, who, unfortunately, a lot of you can't see, but she's standing right here. Hi, Jashna.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Be kind.
For sure.
Thank you
so much
for joining us. So, Jashna, you are a chef. I can't tell if having a chef's fridge is going to be an advantage or
right.
disadvantage.
Right. Well, it might just be like beer and olives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it might be full of like gardens of delights, or it might be like, oh, I put my shoes in the fridge because I don't cook at home ever.
Leftover kimchi from 5 years ago. Yeah. Which would probably be delicious, but anyway.
I could work with that. Fermented. I don't know if I couldn't work with the shoes, but I could work with the kimchi.
It'd be fermented, extra fermented.
Exactly.
You are,
kimchi,
but you are a chef also, not just a chef, but you're also an activist.
I am.
Around the idea of social gastronomy. What does that mean?
So social gastronomy is the idea that chefs can do what we do, but with the real intentional purpose of creating social change.
Okay.
So using our kitchens as platforms to do things differently, be it labor practices in the kitchen, thinking about sustainability and sourcing, and in the case of the work that I do, thinking about the populations of people that you serve.
Hmm.
And so there is a rich opportunity. There's lots of things that our communities need us, and I've really learned that over the course of my career.
Yeah, and like feeding people
from
a food bank.
Amazing.
Good food and feeding
really
them with
food.
Dignity.
Honest, good food, right?
Yeah.
Real, wholesome things. And that translates into the work that I do now is public institutions. So I've just finished writing a book, which will be out in the world in May. It's called Take Back the Tray. And it is my blueprint, hopefully, for the revolution that we can wage in hospitals, schools, and prisons if we ever let the conversation get there. Let's say that.
Yay.
Good on.
Thanks.
Thank you. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to be a little bit invasive.
Yep.
And
I got
go
it.
Go into your refrigerator.
Yep.
Oh, actually, no, wait, time out. I have to give the rules.
Okay.
Here are the rules, okay? Jashna will have to give you 5 ingredients of her choice that actually exist in her refrigerator.
Yeah.
Melissa, you get a few things for free.
Okay.
You get water, salt, pepper. Those are free. You get fat. You get one fat that Jashna actually has to have on hand, and then you can ask for 3 additional ingredients, but she has to actually have them.
Okay.
And then you have to come up with your dish, and Maddie and Suresh will judge you.
And they'll decide if it's good enough.
With varying levels of
And we're doing it
generosity.
All by imagination, too.
Yeah.
Which is the best bit, right?
Okay.
No lying.
All imagination.
Right.
Do I need a pen and paper? I don't know. I've never played this game. Let me have the pen and paper just in case.
You might.
I might? Okay, got it. Okay, Joshua,
she's written 43 cookbooks. She probably has a recipe with whatever.
You can memorize 5 ingredients. Yeah.
But I have my notes there. I have my notebook. I have my computer. You don't on the fly here. Okay.
Okay.
What's in your fridge?
In the fridge for you, broccoli stems and leaves.
Okay, I love it. Honestly, the stems and the, like, those are my favorite parts.
I've got some eggs.
Okay. Oh, you thank you for the eggs.
I have maple syrup.
Respectable
Canadian. I have maple syrup.
Wait, what do you have? Maple syrup. Okay, I have to use
sort
all
of always
these in
there.
One dish. Okay.
I have organic carrots.
Carrots.
Thank you, Maddie. They're organic.
What about carrots?
That means they taste amazing.
Maple syrup.
Okay, wait.
This is some real whole.
And then, and then the 5th I have for you is dried chanterelle mushrooms.
Dried.
Oh, my God. All right. Dried chanterelle mushrooms. I've never even seen
dried
chanterelle
mushrooms.
Oh, I
should buy you some. Really? Forbes Wild Foods. They're foraged.
Oh, my gosh.
Here. Yeah. It's a very Canadian ingredient.
If I bring those back on the plane, will I get in trouble?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
I think so.
But I really want those dried chanterelle mushrooms.
You should have them, too. Okay, we'll talk.
All right, we'll talk after. Okay, and then I get salt and pepper and water.
Yep.
And I can ask for three things. Okay, so I think the trick here for me is the maple syrup is sweet, right? So I want to use it very sparingly. The broccoli is a bit of a, you know, that's the cruciferous, you know, cabbagey flavor, which I love, but right. Is it going to work with the carrots, the maple syrup, and the dried chanterelles? So I'm going to need something to bring everything together. I get a fat.
You get a fat.
I get a fat. So what fat is going to, do I, okay, butter, olive oil. So you have to have it.
Pemmican fat.
No, she's not going to have that.
I don't know.
Are you?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
If you did, I would never even.
I actually have some caribou fat. That would be amazing.
Do you have some caribou fat?
I do not.
I mean, could she have duck fat? I mean, I feel like, seriously, like, I feel like savory duck fat with all of these things would be amazing. But if I get it wrong, do I get another fat or I blow my fat? I can't have
no,
fat.
You get a fat.
No, you have to land on one that I have.
The point of the game is not to be like the magic eight ball.
Okay. Does she have? All right, do you have duck fat or chicken fat or any kind of poultry fat?
I have duck fat. However, okay. Asterisk on I have duck fat, it is from a duck that I rubbed masala on.
Oh, even better.
So it's masala duck fat.
This is good because this has spice.
Proper brown girl duck fat.
I was going to ask for three.
It's masala duck fat.
That is perfect. Okay.
But you put that in the cookbook, masala duck fat.
I might actually. You know, this is another thing. Whenever I do these events, I always get recipe ideas from people. This is how I keep doing it. So like, this might actually get published. we'll do a joint recipe byline.
Nice.
Okay. Now I want. You know what I want? I want a starch here. Okay. I want either something like potatoes, or I want a grain. Like I want rice.
I have a big bag of basmati rice.
Okay, so I've got my rice.
Again, brown girl staple.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you think Jashna Maharaj has rice
in her house?
Do
you think she got rice in her house?
I have to say, I kind of knew that was like a ringer when I said it. Like,
she would have been another awesome fat option for you, yes.
Okay, because I'm thinking I'm seeing like a biryani kind of dish. I'm seeing like, you know, something come together. The dried chanterelles, though. So, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going, all right, so wait. And I get to ask for three more things? Two more things, because I have my rice. Okay, do you have any cured meat, like a bacon or a salami or a...
No.
Okay, so I can't have that.
None of that.
Okay, so I'm striking out on that. But you have the dried chanterelles, actually, so I really didn't even need that. Okay, do you have... I need an herb. Do you have, I'm going to go with cilantro.
Fresh. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, and then I need an acid. Okay, and I really hope you have limes. Do you have limes?
I don't. There's four lemons on the counter, though.
What?
I got four lemons on the counter.
Can I
use a lemon? Zero limes.
Can I use a lemon?
Four lemons.
Lemon, can I use a lemon? No, you have, wait.
I think you can.
Yeah. That's an ingredient in our home.
All right. Okay. So we're going to do a big, beautiful rice dish. So, oh, shoot. You know, I also want nuts, too, but I ran out of ingredients. Okay. In your minds, you're going to imagine the garnish, which is not there in the dish. I'm suggesting. I'm cheating, aren't I? Okay. No nuts. Skip it. Okay. So here we go. I'm going to take the duck fat, and I'm going to... fry those broccoli leaves and stems until they're super crispy. Oh, we have no onions and garlic. Oh, I'm a jerk. I forgot the onions and garlic. Okay, we're gonna do it anyway. And then we're gonna add the carrots too to that, and we're gonna saute the rice, right? And we're gonna make a broth with our dried chanterelles. We're gonna make a delicious broth, and we're gonna add a touch of maple syrup just to kind of balance the dried chanterelles, but not too much so it's sweet. And then we're gonna add that, and we're gonna cook that into this beautiful pilaf, and then we're going to add our rice, which we have sauteed. We're going to fold in tons of cilantro. Like, I hope you have that much cilantro.
I have one.
It's like a bowling ball size.
I want a bowling
size.
Ball size. I want a. Yes. I want an entire giant bunch of cilantro. We're going to fold that in at the end, and then we're going to add lemon to the whole thing to just bring out the flavor. We have the masala spices in. I get that for free. I get my spices
this
for
is
free.
The thing. It's a two for one, that masala.
Okay, and that is going to be dinner tonight. What do you guys think? Yay or nay?
Yeah, sure.
Wait, eggs! Even better, we fry eggs in more duck fat, and we serve a fried egg on top.
Wow. No,
That's working for me.
Do you have the broth separate in the pilaf, or you use that? You made that broth first, and then you cook?
No, I made the broth first, and then I put it into the pilaf. That's what I used to make
and
the pilaf.
The chanterelles are in there?
Chanterelles are in the broth, yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if it had, it'd
rice
be better
with broccoli. And then
the
broccoli stems, are they cut up, or that's just like a giant? You got one whole.
Just one.
No, they're cut up and fried.
She didn't get a knife, right?
It's like a lamb shank.
A stick.
Yeah, the broccoli stem is like a vegetarian lamb shank.
Yeah,
right.
It's been like,
yeah, right.
It's been crispy, fried crispy.
It's crispy. And I've cut up the stem, and I've done the leaves first, and I did them in the duck fat. I take them out. And they go on top, crunchy.
Oh,
I like that.
She got her garnish.
Yeah. But here's the thing. If I had the things I'm missing here, we know this is true. I should have had an onion, I should have had garlic, and I should have had some nuts. But aside from that, does it pass muster?
I think it passes. I mean, I'm worried about the maple syrup a little bit.
I know. Me too. That maple syrup is tough.
Amazing. I think it sounds beautiful.
That sounds like a winner.
I think so.
Oh, you know what I could have done?
Of a cookbook, I feel.
You know what I should have done? I should have taken those carrots and boiled them in the maple syrup until they were glazed, duck fat and maple syrup.
We're renaming this game.
That's
it's not
what
stump
I should
the
have
cook
done.
Anymore. It's like get the cook to stop cooking.
Sorry.
This cook can't be stopped. This cook can't be stumped.
But wouldn't that be better? Better.
I like it.
Melissa Clark, thank you. Jashna Maharaj,
thank
you. Maddie Matheson, thank you.
Yo, thank you.
Suresh Doss, thank you.
Thank you.
To the beautiful people of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, thank you.